Well, good morning, Life Church. How are you this morning? Yes. Oh, that was pretty good. I'm impressed. Let's try it again, though, because not everybody participated. How are you this morning, Life Church? Fabulous, fabulous. I'm so excited I get to share with you today. Pastor Kevin is at our Rockford campus ministering this morning in person down there, and so having a great time down there. And so then I just get the honor and privilege of coming up here and ministering to you this morning, which makes me very excited. And so in just a second, I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles and hold those up in the air just like we normally do. But if you could just to make me feel better, just put a little bit more oomph in it so that I can tell Kevin that you're louder for me than you are for him. It's going to make my life so much sweeter. How's that? Would you do that with me? No, please, come on. I know I'm your favorite. Can we just do that? Can you help me out so I can? Okay. Would you ready? Hold your Bibles in the air this morning and repeat after me. Ready? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what it says. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you. I owe you one. Just don't tell him I asked for it. You can just tell him you were louder for me than him, but I'm just kidding. Kind of. Okay. So... All right. Well, I'm very excited to share with you this morning. I love having this opportunity and this privilege. We've just recently concluded a few great messages or series here at Life Church. The first one that I want to kind of go back to that we talked about probably a few months ago was called Close the Gap. How many of you remember that series that we were in? That was a phenomenal series talking to us personally about our role and our responsibility in closing the gap to bring the message of Jesus to people. Amen? And to go where the people are. And it's us corporately as a church. We have a role and responsibility to do what we're called to do corporately. But then also as individuals, we have a responsibility in our lives to close the gap between us and the people that God's personally called us to. Amen? And so that series helped hopefully instill vision and purpose in your heart and in your life for who you are and all that God's called you to do. And then we just recently concluded a series called The Excellent Spirit. And it was talking about the Spirit of God and that what helping us understand what we are, who we are as carriers of the presence of God. Amen. That God has given us his Holy Spirit and what that means for us, that we can be overcomers. There's so much more that we can do and be than we can even comprehend. And hopefully helping us understand what it is, this gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given us for our lives to be more than conquerors. Amen. And so hopefully you've been very encouraged over the past couple of series and helped you begin to see yourself the way God's called you to be, to help you get a vision and a passion and understanding for who you are. I know that that's one of the things that we really do well here at Life Church, or at least we do our best to do well here at Life Church, and that is to help you see who God has created you to be and to help you understand the tools that he's given you in your hands, especially the Holy Spirit, because the what he's given you helps you understand how valuable you are, but also to understand the call that's on your life to go and make a difference. Amen? And so hopefully you're understanding that, is that we try so hard to help you get your gaze up and just to begin to believe God again for who you are. Because life is crazy. There's just a lot of stuff. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. But we go through a lot in life. There's a lot of things that happen that try to get us to not be able to see who we are in Jesus and try to get us to kind of not be able to see what God's created us to do, who he's created us to be. And so we just really, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what God's called you to do, you can't live in it. You can't fulfill it. You can't walk that out, right? If you don't know that God's called you to be an overcomer, you're not going to walk that way. If you don't know that God's given you the Holy Spirit to be your helper, you're not going to utilize him as your helper. Right. If you don't know that he's supposed to be your comforter, then you're not going to run to him when you need comfort. If you don't know what God's given you, then it's very difficult for you to live from that place. And so we try so hard, and we want you to know that. And it's because we love you. At Life here. You know, we just love you. Your staff here, your pastors here love you very, very, very much. And we believe in you. and we understand what's on the inside of each and every one of you. It's like a parent. I'm not saying that we're your parents, but it is like a parent that, you know, you have your kids come to you, and who can see better a lot of times than you what's on the inside of your child? And you can see the potential there, right? You're the one, and so your job as a parent is to help bring that potential out. Well, we can see the potential that's in the inside of you, and it's greater than you believe it to be. And so we preach and we teach in a manner to help you bring your gaze up and to help you see it, and then to live from that place, because we want you to walk it out. We want you to fulfill your God-given destiny. Amen? So I hope you can see that. But this morning's message, we're moving into a new sermon series called Vessels of Honor. And I believe this is just a continuation of the journey that we've been on as a church over the past couple of months, where, like I said, we were talking about closing the gap, and then we've been talking about more excellent spirit that each of us has. Remember, getting our gaze up, helping us understand who we are and the capacity on our life, the anointing on our life, the gifts on our life, to begin to live from that place. But I believe there's another journey the Lord's taking us on, and I believe it's very strategic. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I don't say this all the time, but I really, really, really believe that I have a word from the Lord for you this morning. And so if you would please just open your hearts. Now, this isn't necessarily a message that typically is preached and everybody gets excited about, and you'll hear it in a little bit, but it's to be an encouraging message. But I may step on a few of our toes this morning. Is that okay? Are you willing to let me step on your toes and get a little bit uncomfortable? Because sometimes when we get a little bit uncomfortable, that's when the Lord's moving us out of our comfort zones so that we can grow. Amen. And so that we can do what we've been talking about. We can live in that place of being an overcomer and doing all that God's called us to do. But sometimes in order to go from one stage or one season or one level of glory to glory, like the Bible talks about, there's a little bit of uncomfortableness that has to happen, because we have to step out of a place of comfort into the next place. And so sometimes that's a bit stretching, that's a bit growing, and we have to let go of some things. And so are you willing to do that with me this morning? Will you do that? Yes? Okay, so we're on a journey. Remember, it's because we love you and we want to help you get to that place. So if you would please open your Bibles with me this morning. We're going to start off by reading a scripture in 2 Timothy. We're going to start 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, and it says this. But in a great... Yeah, go ahead. Okay, there we go. Okay, all right. 2 Timothy 2:20. You can't forget it now, just because it's not Kevin up here. You can shout. It's okay. 2 Timothy 2:20 says this, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work." Amen? We're going to get into that scripture in just a few minutes, but I have an illustration that I'd like to show you up here. Don't you like this beautiful creation right here? Isn't this gorgeous? I'm being sarcastic. It's okay. It's just a lump of clay. There's nothing special about this. I don't know if you can see it over there, if I can lift it up off the table. Oh my goodness, it's heavy. Just a beautiful little lump of clay here. And really, I heard a story one time, and I kind of wanted to bring this illustration out. And now in here, I have a beautiful figurine. Go ahead. Some of you may know, this is called a yadro. I don't know if many of you are familiar with that. How many of you know what a yadro is? Far more than the first service. Well done. This is a Spanish work of art, really. It's mostly hand-carved, but it was also hand-painted. They're very expensive, and this one, I believe, came straight from Spain from some of my relatives, and so this one's mine. It's a very treasured piece. They're not cheap. We'll just put it that way. So it's this beautiful work of art. Well, the reason I bring these two illustrations out here is not to talk about this beautiful yadro, but I'm hoping to make a point with it. And is that there was, I heard a story one time, and those of you who are in Bible school, second year Bible school, you'll have just heard this story, so this will be familiar to you. But there was a famous sculptor, and he had sculpted this beautiful, beautiful angel. And there were several people around admiring his sculpture and just talking to him about it because it was absolutely stunning. It was beautiful. And the sculptor was asked, "My goodness, how did you do that? How were you able to create this beautiful piece of work or this beautiful artwork? How on earth?" Because, you know, to us, man, who I couldn't do that. I know that I couldn't do that. It's so difficult. I'm not gifted and talented that way. And the sculptor simply replied, he just said, "You know, all I did was pull away or cut away anything that wasn't part of the angel." And it hit home. My goodness. We all start, that angel that was sculpted started from this. Just like this. This piece of artwork, this masterpiece started from here. And all the artist did, all the sculptor did was begin to peel away and take away everything that didn't belong to this. And then all of a sudden this beautiful artwork came forward. And you know, it blessed me so much because I realized that all of us have this in here. Right? Aren't we all God's workmanship? Aren't we all created in his likeness and image? There's a scripture in James that says this. It says, or actually Isaiah 64:8, it says this, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are potter, and we are and all we are the work of your hand." Amen? We are God's workmanship. But I just love the fact that this existed in here. It's very difficult when you look at this to conceive that, right? I mean, I have a hard time looking at this, calling this a masterpiece or calling this a beautiful artwork because it surely doesn't look like it yet, does it? No. I mean, really, if you can see it, if you can see that in this, that's pretty amazing, right? But just looking at this in the natural, it's very difficult to look at this and see the masterpiece of the artwork. But the truth is that this existed before that did. And all that is was in this, right? Does that make sense? And all that had to happen was the creator just began to pull away things and pieces that weren't a part of that masterpiece. Now listen, we just got done talking about a couple different sermon series where we're telling you, look up, begin to see the masterpiece that's on the inside of you, right? The vision that's on the inside of you, the call, the destiny, all that God has for your life. We've been telling you, listen, you are created. You house the Holy Spirit of God. Dream, have vision. You are anointed. You've called to do so much more than you can ever ask or imagine. Think that's the masterpiece. We're trying to help you see the masterpiece in your life. Right? But you know what? There's a process to get to this masterpiece. There's a process that we have to go through. It doesn't just happen. All the tools are provided for this to happen, right? But there's a process where there are things in our lives, there's parts of us that have to maybe be pulled off of here in order to get to that place. But just like the scripture that said in 2 Timothy, it says this, I want you to listen again. Listen for this. It says, "But in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware. Some are honorable and noble and some not so much. Some that are ignoble and unclean who separates himself from contact." Okay, back up. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating, corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master. In that verse, whose responsibility is it to become a vessel of honor? Ours. Ours. But wait a minute, God, I thought that you're the potter and I'm the clay. God, I thought all I had to do was sit here on your wheel and you would pull things away. So how come there's a responsibility on my part? What does that look like? It's my responsibility to say yes. Amen. Amen. That's my responsibility, is to say yes. Yes, God, when he puts his finger on something. Because you know what? God's a gentleman. He's not going to come into your life and just yank pieces out of your life. He's going to come into your life and kind of touch a part and touch maybe a spot or an area. And it's our job to say, okay, amen. All right, God, you're right. That isn't a part of this overall masterpiece. It doesn't fit. It doesn't look right on your overall plan and scheme of who I'm called to be. Yes. Okay. We'll get rid of it. We'll move it off of there. We'll let you move it off of there. It's a journey. It's our job to say yes. See, God's grace exists in the very fact that there is a masterpiece in here to begin with, right? And in the fact that His Holy Spirit is there and provided to come alongside of us so that we don't have to do it on our own, so that He walks us through the entire process, right? Our job is to say yes to the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our job isn't to clean ourselves up. He does that, right? Our job is to say yes. Isn't that part of walking with the Lord? When you gave your life to Jesus, isn't that what we do? Is we say yes to Him and we don't hold anything back. And we say, you know what, God, there are things in my life right now that don't look right. They don't look like the masterpiece. And so I'm going to walk with you and allow you to take the pieces that don't fit, that don't look like the masterpiece, away from our lives. You see why this might be a little bit more of an uncomfortable message for some of us this morning? Because it's stepping on our toes, but I'm telling you, this is what the Word of God teaches us. And Life Church, you have a call on your life. You have a purpose and you have a plan, and you have to be able to move to the next season. But unless you can shed some of the stuff that doesn't fit in the next season, you can't go there. You can't get there. God's calling you. I'm telling you, we have been telling you who you are for a reason, because until you can see the vision, until you can see the end goal, you can't get there. Until you know what the target is, you're never going to reach it. You have to know the target. But on the journey to the target, in order to get there, there's a process of walking with the Lord, of journeying with the Lord. And how do you journey with Him? You continue to say yes to Him. And some of those yeses are uncomfortable for our flesh, because we like the things that we like. We like our habits. We like our mindsets. We like our thought patterns. We like the things that we're accustomed to. But ladies and gentlemen, when you said yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you said yes to His Lordship, not shared Lordship. You don't have a portion. There's no place for you in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in your Lordship. You didn't share that. You gave complete control and submission and authority to Him. So as He leads you and as He guides you, part of being a child of God, part of being a Christian, a Christ follower, is submitting to His plans, His purposes, and denying our feelings sometimes and the things that we, our flesh, wants. Now, let me give you a heads up. It's your flesh, which is that carnal nature, which is that side of you that you gave your life to the Lord and you got a new spirit, right? You have a new spirit. You're a three-part being. You are spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit is what was made new when you gave your life to Jesus, and you have that body side of things, your soul and your body. Those two things, your soul needs to be renewed. It needs to be taught how to think properly now. Which means you have to retrain it. And how many of you know when you're retraining anything, there is some friction there, and there's part of that that's not going to get its way, which is going to be uncomfortable. So when you're retraining or renewing your mind to His way of thinking and doing things, there's going to be some things in your old way of thinking that are not, it's going to be frustrating for that to come into alignment with the Word of God, right? And that's where maybe there's some frustration, because maybe you thought certain ways, or you thought certain patterns and habits, lifestyles were appropriate, they were okay. And now all of a sudden you're reading the Word of God and you say, oh my goodness, this isn't, the Lord put this out here, this isn't okay. Which, by the way, whenever He says it's not okay, it's not because He's cruel, but it's He sees the end result of the way that you're living. Amen. And the end result of all those things are death and destruction. So He's got your best interest at heart. He's a good, good Father, like we sang, so you could trust Him.
Amen.
You could trust your Father.
Okay?
And so when you see those things, so now it's like you have to take your mind and you have to renew it and you have to retrain it to a new way of thinking so that you can, that's that part of renewal, so that you can continue to get rid of certain things so that your life can be like this masterpiece.
Amen?
Amen? So this is a journey. This is something that, you know what, we're going to walk this way throughout our lives. But it's a good journey. It's not always it's not condemning. It's not painful. When the Lord shows you something, it's not to condemn you. It's because He's got increase on His mind for you.
Yes.
He wants to take you places. He wants to use you in ways that you never thought before. Those vessels of honor were our vessels that can be used. They're trustworthy. They're the ones that can be trusted by God to carry messages, that can be trusted by God for realms of influence. They can be leaders. They can go do what God has called them to do. And a lot of those other things are going to get in the way. They'll be distractions. They lead to destruction. And they ultimately hurt us. Amen? Are you with me this morning? It's very quiet right now. Maybe I'm going to go hide when we're done with this message. All right. So there's some things that can't stick around because they just don't look like, or they don't fit on that vessel of honor anymore. It would be like taking something that the Lord stripped away and coming over here and adding it. Doesn't that look strange? It looks odd. It doesn't fit. Right? It looks like it's out of place. But that's what we do as believers, as children of God, who God's working on areas in our life to turn us into a masterpiece, and we just choose to hang on to one. We look like that. It's odd and it doesn't fit because we are that masterpiece. Does that make sense? It doesn't fit, and I got to get it off because it just is annoying me. All right. Those vessels of honor. So there's some things that just can't stick around. The Holy Spirit walks with us and empowers us through our decisions. It's His grace that the masterpiece exists, and it's also His grace that helps us. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says this, "Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, which is self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire, both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." Amen? It's the Holy Spirit that comes alongside of you to help you, even give you the want to. Some of us need the want to, right? But praise God, the Holy Spirit even helps with that. That's pretty amazing. He doesn't just tell you what to be or what to do. He even helps with the desire to do it and the ability to do it. Not only did He put the masterpiece there, He helped you want, He gives you the desire to want to be the masterpiece, and then it helps you get to be the masterpiece. What more could we want? We have the Holy Spirit that we can lean into for all of those things. Praise the Lord. We are so blessed. Amen. We are so blessed. Thank you, God. He didn't leave us alone. Amen? Amen. So there's ways that He does that. He renews our mind. He does so many things. In this message series that we're in, the Vessels of Honor, as we progress, there's a lot of different things that we're going to cover. You know, there's lots of ways that God takes us on this journey and creates us and helps us become vessels of honor. And part of it's the journey, and there's so many different areas, and we're going to cover a lot of them. And Kevin and I have been talking about the message. I tell you what, he'll be here preaching next week. It is going to be phenomenal, and you really want to be here, because I know in your hearts, this church has a love for Jesus, and they have a desire to go and to be used and to be those vessels of honor. And just by you coming, and just the hunger in you is evident. So I know that's why you're all going to come back next week, and this message isn't going to offend you so much that you're not going to want to return, because you're all going to be back here and we're going to see it in proof. But in all honesty, it's there. You have a love for Jesus, and you have a desire to grow. You have a desire for Him, to be used by Him, and to be vessels of honor. And so we're going to continue to talk about that. But you know, it's interesting, because as I was preparing this message, I really felt strongly that the Lord gave me two specific areas to touch on in talking about becoming a masterpiece. Like we were talking about, there's different things that we need to begin to shed, right, and to let go of in order to become that masterpiece. Because that we are. The masterpiece is there. But in order to see it come to pass, remember, the Holy Spirit's doing it. The Lord's molding us and shaping us. He's taking us from glory to glory. But there's things that we have to say yes to, right? It's our responsibility. Remember that scripture said, whose responsibility was it to lay aside all that stuff? It was our responsibility. So we have a part to play in this, which means you have a part to play in your destiny. I don't know if you knew that or not, but getting to your destiny is not just all in God's hands. You have a part to play in that. Who has God said that you are? What are the desires that he's put in your heart and the goals to reach for? Guess what? It's not just going to happen. You have to say yes. And not just yes, God, to your overall plan and vision. It's yes every single day to the next step, to the next step, to the next step, to the next step. It is a constant process. You have to say yes, which also means that if this church, Life Church, is ever going to reach its fullest potential and capacity as who we're called to be as a body of believers, then everybody has to step up and do that same thing and follow the Lord in their ultimate calling and destiny on their lives as individuals. We all have to do it corporately or it's not going to happen. So we're dependent on one another. Look, you can look at your neighbor and say, you better step up and be all that God's called you to be, because otherwise you can't get to your full potential. We're linked together as the body of Christ. Amen? You're awfully quiet this morning. My goodness. All right, let's keep. Okay, so those two areas that I really believe the Lord told me to deal with. The first one is this. It's to deal with an area of holiness. Holiness is purity. It is separation. It is consecration to God. It is choosing not to live in sin. Now, this is a touchy one. I'm about to step on even some more toes this morning, so if you want to pull them out from away from the stage, I understand. It was a joke. Nobody's trying to make a serious topic a little bit lighter just to help it land easier. You got to help me out, but it's not working. Okay. But holiness is separation, is consecration to God. It is choosing to live a life without sin. There's a scripture I want to read you. It is 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. James 4:4-7 says this. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says, in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now listen, it's our responsibility to bring this scripture to you. And now I'm not saying that we're standing up here saying that there's all this unholiness or sin issues within Life Church. And as a matter of fact, there's most of us, I couldn't sit here and point any of that out. But sometimes the Lord puts messages on our hearts up here to bring to you before you have the opportunity to make the wrong choice. Does that make sense? So a lot of times this is a preparation message. Say, listen, we're going to the next phase. We're going to the next level. Now, there may be areas in your life that need to get right and that need to be cut off so that you can become more like that masterpiece. But it may also be a preparation so that we grow, so that we're more aware of things. So if something comes and faces you, then you know how to make the right choice to keep yourself from going down that path. Because the issue of sin and holiness, obviously it's in the Bible. The Bible says to flee youthful lusts. The Bible says, and you know what's interesting about that scripture in 2 Timothy 2:22 where it says flee youthful lusts? Do you know that that is the very next scripture after the first set of scriptures I read to you about being a vessel of honor? So Paul's talking and he's saying, listen, it's your choice to be a vessel of honor, right? He said, shed that. And then he goes on and then he says, flee youthful lusts. This is how you do that. This is how you keep yourself a vessel of honor. Run away from sin. Run away from things that don't agree with the Lord. Run away from things, because I don't know if you know this, but light and darkness can't mix, right? It's like oil and water. They don't go together. A child of God who's running forward, who's wanting to be a part of that masterpiece, some of these old things, like I showed you previously, don't fit anymore on this masterpiece. They look they don't look odd. They just don't work. It's not a part of who you were created to be. Why are you hanging on to it anymore? The Lord's already talked to you about it. And if he hasn't already talked to you about it, or if you've not listened, he's talking to you about it this morning. The Lord has already talked to you about certain things in your life that you need to get right. Why are you hanging on to it? It doesn't look right. It's odd. It's out of place. It will weigh you down. It will waste your time and your influence, and it will lead you to destruction. It's not a path designed for your blessing in mind. And you know what? We were talked about having lordship. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And what an arrogant statement for any of us in this room to ever say, you know what, God, my way is better than your way. Because ultimately, that's what you're saying to him. When you say, I'm going to choose to hang on to the sin in my life because I don't want to submit that to you, you're ultimately saying, which you may not even realize that you're saying, and this is completely said in love, hear it in love, you're ultimately saying, God, my way is better than your way. God, I choose not to be obedient to you in this area. It's every area. When you gave your life to Jesus, you submitted every single area of your life to Jesus. You didn't hold on to some. He died for every single part of your life. He's the one who laid down his life and paid for your eternal salvation, which would have been enough, which we never even deserved in the first place. But he deserves our complete and total surrender and submission to him for all that he's done. And just out of gratefulness and thankfulness, I'm not going to hang on to something in my life that he already paid for. It doesn't fit there. It doesn't belong on me as a masterpiece that he created. It's time to get rid of it. It's time that it no longer can stay in my life because it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit you. It doesn't fit you. And he's talked to you about it. And he's giving you an option today to walk out of it and to let it go. Now, some of these sin issues are big. I know that. I know some are really big, and they've caught you in addictions, and they've bound you. And you know what? There is help to get you out of that. Amen. There's help, but you got to take that first step. Amen. You've got to take that first step. You need to talk to somebody. Some of them, you need to come to a trusted person in the church or a pastor. Some of you need to step out and go straight to counseling. Some of you need to get into our Real Freedom Ministries or some of the other ministries here at Life Church, but you just got it. You have to take that first step. Amen. You've got to take that first step. It doesn't fit you anymore. It doesn't fit you anymore. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is your helper. Remember what we said in the beginning? He is your helper. Your job is to say yes, but not just say yes. Remember? You have to put action behind it. Faith without works is dead, right? You need to take a step in the right direction to say yes, which means you have to move.
Right. Amen.
You have to actually move. And it's not comfortable at first, is it? It's painful. Because you're making your flesh sit down and shut up and move over and you're moving. But you got to do it. But then some of us, it may not be as huge of a thing. It may just be an aligning issue that the Holy Spirit's just kind of been tapping on. And we've just kind of ignored it for a little bit. Maybe it's attitudes. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's something he's told you to step out and do. And you just kind of like hesitate. God, I don't really want to step into that ministry. Or I don't really want to go do that next thing. Or whatever it is that the Lord's been talking to us on. And you think, well, it's not as huge of a whatever. It's still disobedience.
Right.
It's still disobedience. Again, you've got a good father and you can trust him. Step into it and obey him this morning because that disobedience doesn't fit the masterpiece, right? This is who you are. And we're letting him. You know, there's different times, there's different points in a sculpture in the process where big chunks come off, right, on the journey, big chunks. But then eventually it gets down to the shaping and there's like fine-tuning things, right? And little things, just kind of, and then putting in details where there's, you know, like there's beautiful. I mean, if you were up here looking at this, I mean, there's just even like little details in her hair. It's not just solid piece of what, but it defines it and it brings beauty to it. There's times that the Lord does that. And again, this is in our own lives. He just brings definement to a certain area and helps us see that more clearly and see the beauty of it more clearly. It's a beautiful process. And again, this is a lifetime journey that we're on with the Lord. And it should be exciting, like I said earlier, because when the Lord does these things and walks us into these places, then man, he's bringing us up. He's bringing us up. He's getting us ready because there's something new. We're going to the next level. If he wasn't talking to us and we were just staying there, which he's always talking to us. So if we're not hearing it and not moving, we're just not moving with him. Because he's always moving. He's always talking to us. Amen?
Amen.
Now you're really quiet. Do you still love me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So holiness deals with our character. Do you know something else about our character? If you want to stay in the game, if you want to do this for the long haul, how many of you just want to run your course and you just say, man, I want to get to heaven and say, here, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can raise your hand. How many of you say, look, that is me. I want to do this. You know, the key to keeping you in it for a long time is holiness. It's character. It's integrity. It's interesting when you look at a house, okay, when you construct a building or something, if the foundation of the building, say it's a home, and they're mixing the concrete for the foundation, if there's something wrong with the mixture in the concrete, because it has to be certain, I don't know all the technical terms, but it has to be done properly with all the right mixture and amounts of different things. Otherwise, it's not going to work right. It may look right when they pour it, but if it wasn't done right, they could build a whole house on this wrong foundation, and it may look good for a while. But down the line, even if it's 30, 40 years into this, you're going to start to see cracks in the walls and in the structure of the house. It's going to crack through, right? And you're going to be able to see that it's all due to the faulty foundation that it was based on. Well, that's just like us. For those of us who want to do it in the long haul, that foundation is our walk with God. It's character, it's our holiness, it's our integrity. And if you want to live this thing out and you want to do this, you want to run that race, and you want to complete and accomplish all that God's called you to do, then that foundation shouldn't have any cracks in it. That foundation should be the foundation where we've said yes to the Lord and allowed him to adjust us and align us, right? So that we can have a thorough and a strong foundation of character and integrity. Because you know what? Eventually, the compromises that we allow in our life, the sin issues that we allow in our life, the times we've said no, it's going to start to show, and there's going to be cracks in the structure of our house. And you know what I'm talking about. And you begin to see it. And that house, the integrity of that house has been compromised. Do you see that? This is stuff that is going to keep you in the long haul. There are people in the room that have called God to ministry on your life, sitting here. And the way that you're going to fulfill that call, the way that you're going to fully do all that God's called you to do, is by living a life of character and integrity, and that will allow you to do it for the long haul. Amen. Oh, goodness. All right. I feel very alone. You know, God didn't cleanse you to be a vessel of dishonor. He cleansed you. He washed you to be a vessel of honor. He prepared you to be that masterpiece. His work was not so that you could stay like this. His work was so that you could fulfill your God-given destiny. And if there's stuff that we need to let go of to fulfill that and to walk in that, then we need to let go of it. Amen? So that's the first area. The second area that I really felt strongly that I was supposed to talk about this morning, they're neither one are totally related, but you know, you just do what the Lord tells you to do. And so I don't know if it's for a lot of people in here, or if it's just a couple people, or maybe I'm just preaching to myself. I don't think so. I think there's more of us. But that's another area that we need to kind of let go of so that we can become a masterpiece, because it's not just all sin issues. Well, I mean, a lot of them are. But this area deals with hanging on to rejection and insecurity in our lives. And I really feel like the Lord wants to talk to some of us in the room and say, listen, as long as you're choosing to hang on to rejection in your life and to live from that place and to live out of a place of insecurity, you can't ever fully be this. See, rejection and insecurity are often one of the most socially acceptable I don't want to say the word sins, but in a way, in a minute, you maybe could see it. It's a socially acceptable behavioral pattern, I guess you could say, in the church, because we're taught so much to be humble, right? We're taught to think of others first, not to take their credit, all that kind of stuff, which is all good because obviously we don't want to walk in pride or arrogance. But the problem with rejection and insecurity is that it keeps us from even seeing or understanding who God's created us to be. And so we can't ever live in the fullness of that. See, pride and arrogance is not living out and living what God's called you to be. Pride and arrogance is taking credit for it. Do you see the difference? You living from the position, that masterpiece position that God's made you to be, and understanding that it's all him, is not pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance steps in when you begin to take the credit for who God's called you to be. See, in a lot of rejection and insecurity, that stems, I understand that a lot of that starts in our lives from a very, very early age. It can start in our homes. It can start from our parents. It starts from the influences of so many other people speaking into our lives, making it very difficult for us to see. who we are. And I understand that it is a difficult process because it's like you almost get to this place where you can't see. But our job here, our job is to help pop a bubble in that, to help you begin to see. But once you begin to see that that's not you, that that's not who God's created you to be, then you begin to walk into that. Don't hang on to it. Our problem is a lot of times we'll hang on to that rejection and insecurity like a security blanket. Like we hang on to it. It's my little, and it almost becomes like we're just going to hang on to that, and I'm not going to walk for it. I'm not going to let go of it because to step out of it is almost scary. Does that make sense? To step out of that place is almost scary because we want to hang on to it, but really, that's not who we are. And hanging on to that rejection, you realize when you live from that place, then you begin to see everything that happens to you in life from the place of rejection or from the place of insecurity. You view everything that happens. You view the way that people talk to you. When you walk into a room, if you're insecure, a secure person versus an insecure person, I've said it before, when they walk into a room, two completely different experiences. They could have walked into the same place, same room, same people, but two completely different experiences. An insecure person will walk into a room, their shoulders are down, they come in, they feel like everybody's automatically looking at them, and they immediately start thinking about all of their personal inadequacies. When they walk in a room and they sit down. But a secure person who knows who they are and God can walk into a room and say, God, okay, who's my assignment today? Who do you want me to sit next to? And they perceive the situation completely different. One is it's all about me. The other is, God, who do you want? It's all about them. Who do you want me to minister to? Does that make sense? And it is a process to break free from some of that stuff, but just realizing that it's even there is the first step. Right? And then you begin to say, okay, so now how do I get out of that? How do I get rid of walking and hanging on to rejection? Because I get it. A lot of that stuff came from very real places. But again, it starts with renewing your mind, getting into the Word of God, helping to even begin to see the truth about who you are. If you need to come to more classes, if you need to come to some of the ministries, if you need to seek counseling, I don't know, whatever it is that you need to do to help you to get out of that place, then you need to get out of that place. Rejection and insecurity has never been a part of your masterpiece. It doesn't belong on your masterpiece. It's like these clumps of clay over here that all of a sudden we're trying to hang on to it and we're trying to stick it back on there. But God, no. But God, it's got to fit in there somehow. It's got to fit in there somehow because this is something that's too difficult, too painful kind of for me to walk out of or to let go of. I just want to kind of hang on to it, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't belong there. In order to fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny, your eyes need to be able to see other things because then you know what happens when you're secure. It's when you understand who you are and you can live from that place, then when things happen, because you know what, there will be things that happen right in life, because you know what, I don't know if you've noticed or not, we live in kind of a cruel world, and so people are mean, right? There's always stuff happening, and people just stuff, it's just life. And so the next time something happens, you're going to be able to see it through God's perspective rather than on what's wrong with me, and then you just kind of take it up and say, what happens in God's perspective? Well, you see and something happens to you, but you can look at the person that just did that and you can understand, okay, goodness, hurt people. So there's probably an issue going on in their life. God, help me to see it through your eyes. And guess what? You may be the very person that God uses to bring healing to their life rather than just receiving that rejection and that insecurity in yourself. And you know, rejection and insecurity stops this cycle. Remember the Bible has given us the Great Commission, right? Which is to go and make disciples, right? So to go and make disciples means that we've been discipled. We've been matured in our walk with God. And so we go on to the next person. But here's the thing. The next person you're going to disciple, they're not discipled already. So they've probably got some issues in their own life. And one of them very well could be that they've been mean to you in the past. So maybe if you can live from that secure place, then you can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you because you might be the answer to their problem. But if you shut down in insecurity, if you get stuck in that place of rejection, then it stops you being the answer to what they need in their life. And it stops your level of influence. It stops you from going forward and making a difference. And it surely stops you from being able to walk and live from this place that God's called you to be. Amen. Does that make sense? Yes. See, the Lord loves you so much. And he's got so much in store for you. And he wants us to go up another level. He wants us to walk in that freedom. He wants us to be vessels of honor. And it's our choice to be those vessels of honor. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 Okay. Well, I think we're going to stop there. Would you go ahead and stand with me this morning? We're going to pray in just a second, but I'm going to do something just a little bit different, and I really want you to participate in this. It's not, you know, but I really want you to take a moment because, like I said in the beginning, I really believe that this was a message from the heart of the Lord, and you have a good Father, right? You have such a good Father who loves you, and he hasn't left us to have to do any of this stuff on our own. Remember, I keep saying that because I don't want anybody to walk out of here feeling condemned or feeling like the weight of the world on their shoulder is on their shoulders, because that's not God's heart ever, because he's given us, like that scripture says, he's given us the Holy Spirit, right? So he's created the fact that there's even a masterpiece. He said that he would even help you to will and to do what God's called him to do. Some of us just even need to get to that place like, God, I can see the truth, but just help me want to. That may be where you're at. Just even help me want to. Well, you know what? When you reach out to the Lord for that, the Holy Spirit just kicks in your heart, and he'll begin to produce that. And then he helps you do it. This isn't all on your shoulders on your own, but you have to say yes. You have to move. You have to take those first steps. Amen? So I'm going to ask everybody in the room just to bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. Because I'm going to give you about 10 seconds just between you and the Lord. Because I know the Lord's speaking to people in this room. Whether it's a holiness issue, it could be a big one. You think, man, I've had issues with this my whole life. It just seems so stuck in my life. It could be a little area where you've just kind of been putting the Lord off on and you haven't been listening to him. It could be rejection or insecurity that you know that you've hung on to, or just for the first time you're seeing that it's even possibly a part of your life. Whatever area it is, I know the Lord's been ministering to some of us. I don't care if you're a pastor in the room. I don't care if this is your first time here. Welcome. What a great opportunity for you to connect with the Lord this morning. He loves you so much to talk to you about this. But I'm going to ask you, with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to take about 10 seconds. I just want it to be just quietly. Just ask the Lord, God, is there an area in my life that you're kind of talking to me about? So go ahead. We'll just be quiet for about 10 seconds. Okay, now, with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, if the Lord has talked to you about something, this is between you and Jesus. Nobody's going to be looking around except for me. This is just between you and the Lord. If he's talked to you, remember we said we got to start doing something. I want you to raise your hand as an act of yes. Yes, God. Go ahead and put them up. If that's you, between you and the Lord, he's talked to you, that's your yes. Yes. Hands everywhere. All right, you can put them down. Now, church, I want you to put your hand in your heart this morning. I want to put your hand in your heart. And we're going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you. And we're just going to believe God, thanking God that this is a beginning. And this should be an encouraging message for those of you in the room, too, that have you consistently say yes to the Lord. I just want to encourage you. This should be encouraging to you to see the masterpiece that God's building in your life. So it can be an aligning message for some. It can be an encouraging message for others, because you've been doing it right. You've been saying yes, and you are on the right track. But I want to pray this into our lives. So pray with me, Life Church, as I pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for every single person in this room. Lord, we thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you that you're speaking to us. God, we've acknowledged, Lord, that you are talking just to us. There's certain areas in our lives, God, we want to be vessels of honor. God, we love you. We do submit every area of our life. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. God, we just submit to your Lordship. God, whatever area of our life that maybe we've been hanging on to and trying to share this whole Lordship thing, we know it doesn't work. So we submit it to you, God. We give it to you this morning. And Lord, we just give you that whatever it is that we had to say yes to. Lord, we submit it to you. We put it into your hands. God, our lives are yours, and we commit that we're going to begin to making those changes. God, whatever we need to do, however we need to move to say yes, God, we commit, we will move, we will go, we will say yes, we'll begin now. God, we'll be obedient to what you're doing. Lord, I thank you that the culture of Life Church is one that loves you and that is quick to say yes. that is quick to say yes, to run with you because we're excited about where you're taking us. We're excited about our future. We're excited about all that you have for us. We want to move with you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to call for the altar teams to come on forward. And then I'm going to give one more opportunity this morning. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus before, or maybe you did at one point in time, and you've walked away from him, we're going to give you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord this morning. You know, Jesus died on the cross and he paid for all of our sins so that we could have eternity, we could spend eternity with him. And everything that we've been talking about, he's such a good, good father and he loves you. And so I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord this morning. So with all the heads bowed one more time and eyes closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you did at one point in time and you walked away and you'd like to do that this morning, we're not going to call you to the front, but we'd love to pray for you right where you're at. Would you please just raise your hand and just say, yes, that's me. I want to pray. I want to give my life to Jesus. Don't walk out of here today without giving your hand, putting your hands up. Okay. Anybody at all this morning? There's a hand over there. Praise God. There's hands over there. Two of them over there. Another one over there. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Awesome. Praise God. All right. Well, church, pray with me so that they know that they're not by themselves. Repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know that I've sinned. I know I've walked away from you. I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse me, make me new, be my Lord and Savior, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Guys, that's something to celebrate. Praise the Lord. You know, if you just raised your hand, congratulations. That is so awesome. We're so excited to be a part of your first of your journey with the Lord. And so right at the end of service here, right behind these cameras, we have a couple tables over there. And there's a couple people there that would love to meet you and then give you some materials. We just want to walk with you on this journey and just come alongside of you and help you in any way that we can. So if you can stop at the table behind the cameras, we'd just love to meet you. And the rest of us, let me bless you and you're dismissed. We're going to have a fabulous Harvest Fest tonight. You guys, if you can stick around and help with the chairs and stuff, we would love it. It looks like it's going to be beautiful weather. We've got a record number pre-registered, so it's just going to be amazing. Father, I thank you for Life Church. I pray that you bless them. I thank you, God, for an amazing turnout tonight, God. I thank you that your favor surrounds them and goes before them. In Jesus' name, amen.